perfecting of the saints for the edification of the body, till we all come into the unity of the faith. In other words, until we all begin to trust and believe in one another, that this word is the final and the awesome word, and that you don't have the final word, but that he does. See, what we've done is the higher learning people have caught on real quick, but they caught on to the answer, and they never went to find out or dig in to see anything other than that. And so they can repeat the answer, but they have no idea how they got it. Nobody going to say amen? You will. Because it's the truth. Because once you endeavor to move into how the answer came, you get a revelation that there was many things you never even considered was taking place in order for that answer to get to where it was. Now listen to this. In our own family, I've taught my kids to be teachers. I taught them that what they had and what they knew in the Christ-like nature was important, that they follow through with this on an everyday basis in a public setting of school. I'll tell you what happens. Because of that, I believe they've excelled intellectually. So, more so than the average. I'm just telling you this because this is where the church is. This is where Grace Emmanuel was, and we didn't know how to instruct you. But I'm instructing you now. More so. And so, in order to keep learning in a process, they begin to take and become the answer and begin to instruct the answer to those who weren't quite quick enough to understand yet. All they needed was the proper information. Now, in this house and in the church and in every church, the fivefold ministry is not just for a selected few. It's for everyone to experience this authority of behavior. You'll no longer be confused with it. And you will no longer be turned one way or another. But everyone needs to know how to teach what they know. Because what you know is valid. You know it. And how you teach it may be a unique ability to teach that has been a gift that needs to be given to the body, to the church as a whole. This is not a profession in which it pays you a retirement. This is a church that is going into an eternal being. God, I'm going to tell you, God, how many believe that God is a father? How do you believe that God is a son? Yes. Now, how many of you know that the Father is a spirit? And in the spirit, there is life. Without the spirit, there is no life. And what it means, it doesn't mean that there's no life at all. It means that there's no eternal life. There's nothing that can continue to go on and on and on and on and on and on and on. And it takes two to make that happen. A father cannot make that happen. Only. Now, and you know why you have a problem with that? Because we forgot that when he created man, he created him male and female at one person. And it wasn't until later that we have two different genders. But all of it was in God. Now listen to this. This is really cool. Jesus is the full expression of God. And he's a father. Now listen to this. But he's also a husband. And he's also a son. And he's going to marry the church. Because it's between Gail and I that product comes. Not because of me only. Or because of her only. There has to be a submission there. Without her, we would be deficient as a family. We would be. Without me, she would be. As a family. What we have today is the breaking down of the very uniqueness of eternal life where man and woman recreate again. Jesus. Oh, hallelujah. You see, I'm not just trying to impress you. God, through His Spirit, is enlightening my intelligence in a persuasion of His Word being confirmed. You must know that you are saved and you were saved when you ask the Lord in your heart, you are saved. And fact is, you were saved as far as He was concerned. He bought you before the foundations of the earth. He's brought it to a point of our physical, mental understandings. And you can think on that as long as you want to. And that may be too much for you. This won't be. You are God's kids. Know that for sure. And wherever you are in the process of growing up, you're no less God's kids. Absolutely not. And as we begin to live what we believe, you don't have to worry. I've dealt with people for 45, 50 years regularly, on a regular basis all the time, in many different areas. And every addictive behavior cannot be psychologically delivered. They cannot be delivered psychologically. But I've seen many, 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 many deliverances. And you know when deliverance comes? When you let God take over your problem. Jesus. And that's where I'm always happy. I'm not preaching a bunch of do's and don'ts. I'm going to give you the word, and you're going to have to climb the mountains. You're going to have to dig the hole. You're going to have to dig the wells. You're going to have to do the things yourself if you want to possess them. But I will do my best to encourage you, to let you know that you are God's kids. And as He speaks to you, let me tell you, and I've seen many of them. I've seen people that were that had been addicted to drugs, heavy drugs, for many years, that they could not control their self. Their body had come to the point where if they didn't have it, it would begin to reel, it'd begin to shake, it would begin to do many, many crazy things. until they got it. If you've never seen that, you need to suck up your courage and get out of the mindset that I don't do that. And see how much control drugs can have on a body, anybody's. And be shaking and said, I gotta leave, Danny. And brother say, no, let him pray for you. You'll see what happened. I said, man, I don't know what you're dealing with, but I do know how to pray. And in a simple prayer, not hollering, not anything, but an honest prayer to God, and they would come totally sober, just like that. And work all day long. You never have to have it. Why am I saying this? Because God will speak to you in things that will scare you to pieces, because he'll say, I'll deliver you. He will say it to you. I remember when I used to smoke. I smoked since I've been just a kid. I don't do it anymore, but and I got to tell you, that I'll never send you to hell. You little drugs. Just live in it now while you got it. But when he said, throw them out the window, I never picked them up again. Never. Not when somebody else told me, not even when I thought it was a good idea. I did that lots of times, because we know that it's not good for you, or it's not healthy, it's going to kill your body. But it had become an addiction. And so, my wife can verify it. And I keep asking the Lord, I said, please forgive me for subjecting my wife to that. It wasn't vicious, or it wasn't bad. It's something I got caught up into. And if you think I was the only one in my age group, in the 50s, everybody smoked. Just about. Praise God. I want you to know, no matter where you are, in whatever means of trials and testings, or wherever you might be physically, mentally, or spiritually, don't let go of who you are in Christ. Don't ever get tired of saying, Lord, forgive me. Because that's all that's required. And the thing is, he still never leaves you. He's just waiting for you to come to yourself. Why? Because you have been placed in a position when you've asked the Lord Jesus in your heart. You let him in, and he ain't leaving. Jesus. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Okay, honey, pull up the PowerPoint, and I'm going to get few minutes. Glory to God. Father, you know what I want to do. Go right to my last folder, please. Well, you know what? Just leave it right there, because this is where I'm going to go. In John 11, 23 through 26, but we're just going to deal with one subject in John 11, 23 through 26, and it's life. L-I-F-E, and it's a Zoe life, it's a God life. And I just want to open something up to you that's available. And many are there, and many are there in different degrees, but it's very available. And I'm praying that you will lay hold of what you have and be willing to be added to. And he said, John 25, and when he said, and Jesus said unto her, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. Hallelujah. There's a whole new dimension that Jesus was bringing in to the church that they didn't know before, that they didn't even know they had a right to before. See, if for some reason, whatever it might be, if what I'm doing is so bad I can't touch God, I won't try to touch Him. If I get into a position where, whether it's in depression or whatever it might be, or I'm in a weakness of sorts, and I'm trapped there and I can't get out, if I can't go to God in that situation, I'll never get out of that situation. Neither will you. Because it's greater than you, or you wouldn't be there. Well, even though you know better. But God wants you to know that He's created you to be like Him, and you have a right to come to Him no matter where you are, physically, spiritually, or mentally. And as you continue to recognize that, you need to be happy and free and know that when you ask God for forgiveness, He will give it to you. Hallelujah. And so He was saying to her that I am the resurrection and the life. And so I just want to deal with life a little bit. And let's go to John 6 and 35. And I want to show you some things here. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Are we there? And Jesus said unto them, I am the bread of life, and he that cometh unto me shall never hunger, and he that believeth in me shall what? Glory to God. Aren't you glad he's the bread of life? Glory to God. And we take that and we use that in our sacraments all the time because it should be used in that manner. But we say things with our mouth in that, but yet there's still many, many things that we don't understand that we say. Can you say amen? Amen. Because if that's not the case, then I'll tell you something that I might know that you know nothing about, but you know about, but you have no idea what to do with it, and you'll see. And you vice versa to me. There are stuff that you guys talk about and a language that you guys talk about. I was never taught in chemistry and physics and stuff like that. And so I just listen. I don't try to interject some little thing that I know. I listen because I don't have enough behind me. Got it? Now, you are the children of God. And so, if I need to have an answer from those that are more knowledgeable in whatever, I ask them. And I don't expect them to lie to me. You can laugh because I don't know. That's all right. But my intention is that I might use what you say for performance. In other words, put it to test. Dale and I used to go back and forth all the time because he'd read it in a book and I'd put it to the test and it wouldn't work. That's our kind of relationship for many years. So then we would come together. What did we miss in the translation? It doesn't work. In your own lives, don't throw the material away and say it's not true. Find out, what do I need to do to see that this that has been accomplished here in knowledge and that will work for me now? And you'll see. He wants to give us the information we need to see a completed work done in a life. But what we do is, we already presuppose things. We already think this is how it's got to be done because it was done that way before or whatever. And we get into that mindset once again, of I know, all I needed was that one part. No, no. You may approach it with everything you need except you can't get to it. So you'll either have to design a tool in which you can get to it to do the job and complete the job, or God will give it to you. But you'll have to use the one missing thing that has not yet been given. And so we're always reaching, aren't we? We're always looking, aren't we? So he said, I'm the bread of life. So as we eat him, and we say, Lord Jesus, come on now. Hallelujah. I'm sorry. I missed it. And sometimes, do you ever get tired of saying sorry? Not me. Yeah, I got tired of this. That's the biggest tool that Satan has to get you not to say you're sorry. Because you see, to you, to know to do it and not to do it, to you, it is sin. Not to somebody else, to you. Ooh, help me, Jesus. Okay, let's go to John 14:6. So he's the bread of life, and so we need to eat him. And what do you think eating his body is? What do you think eating the body is? Can you tell me? What is it, Larry? Okay. I'm going to help you. Okay, Danny. Okay. Isn't that good? Now, what is the water? What's he say? He said the water of the Word, doesn't he? Now, Jesus said you're going to eat of what? Hallelujah. Of what? His flesh. Do you know, if we'll just be simple enough to believe the Word, that He became flesh and dwelt among us? That His display of humanity is given to us in the Gospels? Somebody say amen? Come on! And so then, as we put ourselves in His place, come on. And then His display gives us the answer. Just something to think about. And Jesus said unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father, but how? By who? Okay, he has a name. Go to 14:19. Yet a little while, and the world seeth me no more, but ye see me, because I live what? Hallelujah. So if he lives, he's saying if he lived, and his life demonstrated, was the expressed image of the invisible, of the Spirit of life itself, of the Father, that he has given us a plan. And it's not just in words only. See, that was offensive to the Jews. And everybody wants to spiritualize it, and they have a measure of truth. And this isn't everything there is, but this is another measure of truth. If you want to become an engineer, you need to go to school and learn how to become one. And you can't just do it in a book only. Sooner or later, you're going to get a job. And what you know, they're depending on working. And if it doesn't, you're not going to be working. It's not hard. We do not have to complicate it, the gospel. You know, Walter, how many love Walter? Oh, Lord Jesus, help me. This is going to take a little while. How many love his last message? You should see. You should turn around because they love you. Now listen. Except you become as a little child. You know the difference between adults and children? It's because if they're little, they believe everything you tell them no matter what, and they can't wait to try it. Do you know what happens with adults? I got a choice. So right away, all of a sudden, they begin to become judge and jury of what they do and say. And however great that is, it's limited. And you put yourself in a limited situation. Be as a little child. Hallelujah. I'm going to do this. I'm going to go about 10 minutes more. Hallelujah, if you'll let me. Let's go to Psalms 39 and 6. Okay, and what I'm doing, I'm giving you scriptures. You need to take and look at the text on them. And I won't have time because I preach every one of them. Surely every man walketh in a vain shoe. Surely they are disquieted in vain. He heapeth up riches and knoweth not who shall gather them. You know what that is? That's us as we're subject unto death. Gail, we had to move something. We just did it anyway. And it's not for us. Never was intended to be for us. But it is ours. I've got to tell you. He's got everything. He's not short in stuff. He wants to give you. Hallelujah. He wants to bless you. Glory to God. But he wants you to be like him. Amen. He wants you to be able to give in an abundant measure. Because you can. Because he's blessed you. And when we do these things, it's really cool. Hallelujah. And Psalms 36 is really good. But now let's go to Isaiah 38. And I'm going to just bump off of that and we'll pick it back up later. Let's go to Isaiah 38. Honey, and I want you to probably... Isaiah 38. Let's go to verse 1. There's some things I'm going to do a little background on. So you can understand it more clearly. In those days was Hezekiah sick unto death. And Isaiah the prophet, the son of Amos, came unto him and said unto him, Thus saith the Lord, Set thine house in order, for thou shalt die and not live. And I may read a little bit fast, so you guys just kind of watch and read with me too, because I want to get down there. Then Hezekiah turned his face towards the wall and prayed unto the Lord. And said, Remember now, O Lord, I beseech thee how I have walked before thee in truth and with a perfect heart and have done that which is good in thy sight. And Hezekiah wept sorely. Then came the word of the Lord to Hezekiah, or to Isaiah, saying, Go and say to Hezekiah, Thus saith the Lord God of David, thy father, I have heard thy prayer. I have seen thy tears. And behold, I have added unto thy days 15 years. Let's go. And I will deliver thee and this city out of the land, out of the hands of the king of Assyria, and I will defend this city. And this shall be a sign unto thee from the Lord, that the Lord will do this thing that he has spoken. And behold, I will bring again the shadow of a degree, which is gone down in the sundial of Ahaz 10 degrees backwards. so that the sun returned 10 degrees, by which degree it was gone down. The writings of Hezekiah, the king of Judah, when he had been sick and was recovered from his sickness. And I said, in the cutting off of my days, I shall go to the gates of the grave. I am deprived of the residue of my years. And I said, I shall not see the Lord, even the Lord in the land of the living. I shall behold no man more with the habitation of the world. Mine age is departed and is removed from me. As a shepherd's tent, I have cut off like a weaver my life. I have cut me off with pains of sickness from the day even to night. Wilt thou make an end of me? I reckon till the morning that as the lion, so will he break all my bones. From the day even unto the night, wilt thou make an end of me? Like the crane, or the swallow. So did I chat. I did mourn as a dove. Mine eyes failed with looking upward of the Lord. I oppress, undertake for me. I'm going to stop right there. I want to show you something here. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Just give me a second here. And so here's Hezekiah in his dilemma, and God sent him. And guess what? Now, God spoke. Did God speak to Hezekiah first? Tell him he's going to die? Huh? Who through? Through who? Okay, through Isaiah. And then what happened? What happened there? Isaiah prayed to the Lord and God heard him. But how come God didn't just answer him? There's a couple, three parallels, and I'll try to go through them really quick. First of all, God came to him and said, this is the end. So then he made his request known because he had a right to. Child of God, king, Judah. And so what happened was then he was earnest about it. And God righteously gave him another 15 years. Now, some would have said he should have died because of what happened, and you need to read it all to find out what happened. But that's not so. Truth was, he gave him 15 years, and he brought safety because they were under attack. Israel's ready to go down. And God saved them from all that foolishness because of a righteous king. And so then he, instead of just saying, well, Al, you see, so sometimes you've got to hear God's voice when it's in a person. And the thing is, he can talk to you, and any person he wants to talk to you, they do not have to qualify for your ability to hear them. You just got to know his voice. You got to know the word and listen to the word. And so then Isaiah came and he told him what it was. And so God said, I'll send you a sign. He doesn't always do that. A lot of people ask for that. I'm trying to be spiritual. You want to get a sign because when you got one, you think you got them all. That's what happened in the faith movement. We lay blankets down and do and whatever. And I mean, we did all that. Sometimes it worked, sometimes it didn't. And you see, we had a lot of zeal and a little word. But in this day and this hour, God will speak in whatever way He wants to speak, and He'll speak to the language in which you can understand. And I'll tell you what, He may send you a sign and He may not. So this time He sends him a sign. But that sign didn't heal him. Did it? Guess what he had to do? Go get some figs and go get some. Make up a potion. Put on them. Got to heal them. Just got to look at it and see. God does all kinds of stuff, beloved, that's totally beyond our, because we just stop. We stop too soon. We stop in the middle of the stream instead of riding it all the way out. And so, hallelujah. Just go ahead and look at it. It'll be a good thing to look at in Isaiah 38 and read down and see what you come up with. Glory to God. One more before we leave. Hallelujah. Romans 8 and 2. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of sin and death. Hallelujah. So, I'm not talking about the law of sin and death. Everybody pretty much knows about that. I'm talking about the law now of life in Christ Jesus, where now we're living, abiding, functioning, operating, thinking in the kingdom of God. One step at a time. Because we have a right to do that. Because we have a right to step into that. Because you've obeyed the Lord. You've asked Him in your heart. Next thing is to be baptized. Next thing is to let the Spirit of God or be filled with the Holy Ghost. What that means is not just speaking in tongues. Thank God for that. Because that has its own operation. But it's just one. Then all the other spiritual gifts are available for you to have. And the offices. And there will be times when God may send you out by twos. I'm telling you. And He'll be just as faithful in all your different situations as if you had the whole body around you. But when we come together as a church, it's to encourage the parts of the body to continue to reach in, continue to become better, continue to become greater, continue to become more effective than ever before. Let's stand.